I'm Daisy.
And I'm Terry.
And this is the Monday Mindset Podcast,
where we share things of interest to us and hopefully to you.
So let's get started with episode number 6.
In this episode, Daisy is going to share something with us. So, Daisy, what do you have to share today?
Well, it's a kind of general thing that I was thinking about, but I have got some individual resources to quote from and people can go and look up later. But it's something that's very timely. It's something that I'm seeing a lot of at the moment. And it's something also that I struggle with. It's often my default position. And that's defensiveness. I think we're seeing a lot of it right now. Mm-hmm. There's that immediate defensive position. Yes, but. And the way I was thinking about it was that when you're defensive, you close down, or at least it makes it a lot harder to be open and curious and empathetic. So I had this, especially with it being timely, I had this as the subject I wanted to talk about. But instead of starting from a podcast episode or something I'd watched, it was just this sort of general term that I wanted to talk to you about. And I knew you'd have a lot of insight into it. So I went and I looked for some articles about defensiveness and empathy and found some pretty good ones. The first one is called Barriers to Empathy, written by Tracy Abram out of the Michigan State University. And she's actually quoting, I think would be a favorite with a lot of listeners, certainly a favorite with me, and that's Brené Brown. And they're quoting her talking about sympathy. And she says, "I'm over here and you're over there. I'm sorry for you and I'm sad for you. And while I'm sorry that happened to you, let's be clear, I'm over here." And they say, in most cases, when we give sympathy, we do not reach across to understand the world as others see it. So it's this whole difference between sympathy and empathy. And I just feel the whole defensiveness is wrapped up in that. And it's a really big barrier to stopping you being empathetic. And I think empathy is what we really need right now, and we really need all the time. So although it's very timely, it's something that I think you can just apply to any conversation you're having with somebody when they're trying to tell you something that's important to them. You need to not be defensive. You need to keep those defenses down so that you can truly listen and hear what they're saying. And another thing they mention in this article, which I think, again, is something that a lot of people think and worry about, they say the biggest barrier to empathy is the pressure we put on ourselves to say the perfect thing or to get it right. And that empathy is about listening for and acknowledging feelings or having the willingness to understand. Another article I have is titled Struggling in a Stranger's Shoes, Barriers to Empathy. It's written by someone called Salome. I don't know whether it's Butcher or Boucher, B-U-C-H-E-R. I always like to get people's names right, so I'm not quite sure how to. I've probably butchered that pun on words. But she says, empathy, by contrast to sympathy, she's talking about, does not demand that we feel sorrow for others, merely that we understand and relate to their feelings. While a sense of helplessness in the face of many events in this world is completely understandable, a resulting unwillingness to empathize with those whose lives we cannot change is not. And it just feels so important right now to try and listen to what other people are saying from that position, from a position of empathy. And what I'm seeing a lot of is this position of defensiveness. And I understand that because, like I say, it's something that I often default to. And I think a lot of people do. It's a natural inclination to feel defensive, especially if you're feeling attacked in some way. And there are some great resources out there, some great people to follow and listen to who talk about it much more eloquently than I do. And there's a couple here that I want to mention. There's a guy on Instagram called Brandon K. Good, and he posted a short video that he entitled Defensiveness and Growing Your Allyship. And I like him. He's very good at alleviating some of your concerns that you might be feeling as a white person at the moment. And he really gets the message across very well. And some of the things he was talking about in this video, he says that defensiveness comes from a fear that you will be perceived as a racist. And I think that's what I was saying about defensiveness. It's if you're feeling this fear, if you're feeling under attack, the natural position is defensiveness. But as soon as those defenses go up, you stop really listening. And that's a problem. And he says that you get more concerned about damage control for your quote unquote brand of being a good person. And he says, use your energy wisely and don't put your fear, guilt, shame on the other person. It's not for them to have to fight you and justify and prove their point. It's up to you to listen. Going back to Brené Brown, I think she's really great on topics like this. And I listened to a fantastic podcast she did with a friend of hers, Austin Channing Brown, who she had on to talk about her book, I'm Still Here, Black Dignity in a World Made for Whiteness. And it was an incredible podcast. It just blew me away. And I really recommend listening to it and also going on to listen to, which is what I did, or read Austin Brown's book. Fantastic. And they talk about all sorts of things. But the particular thing I wanted to hone in on was a discussion they had about ego. And it just ties in with this whole defensiveness blocking empathy. And they're talking about this whole struggle that you have with your own ego. And Austin says, the thing you have to ask yourself is, have you built the capacity to care more about others than you care about your own ego? Will you choose to protect someone else over protecting your own ego? And Brené talks about how the ego begs for our protection, but it's not our friend. She says it makes us worse humans. And they go on to talk about how learning and curiosity needs to come first. And Austin basically sums it up by saying, the work of anti-racism is the work of becoming a better human to other humans. And so it's just this whole thing about dropping your defenses, not putting your ego first, and really, truly listening. And just to go back to, and I'm sure you'll have something to say about this, going back to the struggling in a stranger's shoes article I mentioned earlier, she talks about how empathy triggers the release of oxytocin, the hormone responsible for trust, attachment, and bonding, which in turn is linked to greater generosity and altruism. And she says, from a societal point of view, empathy also allows us to look beyond our immediate circle and make decisions that are good for the entire community. So actually, although it's really hard to not listen to your own ego, to not listen to it begging for you to protect it, and it's painful to push through that, if you can push through and become empathetic, you potentially start releasing some of these feel-good hormones. And so you actually, you know, you get through that pain. And on the other side of it is why I think we start to feel better when we really do genuinely empathize with the other person. You start, I think anyway, you start feeling that connection. And I guess that's when these hormones start releasing.
It's interesting because as you were just saying that, I was thinking back to some other conversations we've had about healing and feeling good. And if I'm coming from a place of defensiveness, I assume that's triggering those excitatory hormones, adrenaline, norepinephrine, things that make me tense. And so even engaging in the conversation gets more and more uncomfortable because I'm having a physiological response. And as you just described, oxytocin being connected with empathy, the more I can let myself really connect and hear another's perspective, I can get a feel-good hormone to help that work even better and engage even more. And so from what you're describing, again, just the idea that there's a biological thing happening with defensiveness versus with empathy. One helps us feel good, one helps us feel tense. And when we're tense, we can't take in more. We don't have the capacity. And when we're feeling good and empathic and open, then we can take in more and understand more. It's a really cool way to think about it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it makes sense how one starts triggering a cycle and makes it more and more difficult to switch out of that state. You can see why if you start feeling defensive and you start releasing those chemicals, that you're going to be feeling more and more defensive, and it's going to be more and more difficult to lower that.
Go back to another one you quoted, and I don't remember who said this. I think it was the person from Instagram that you said that defensiveness is about the pressure we put on ourselves to get it right. And if I'm feeling that pressure and I'm having these negative hormone responses, I'm going to feel more and more pressure to get it right. So I'm actually going to solidify my belief even more and start to argue it more vehemently, because I'm putting more and more pressure on, I have to be right. And that topic brought out something else for me. I've always said in a different context, but in interpersonal interactions, like in a romantic relationship, let's say, if two people are having a difference of opinion or a conflict, if we see our goal as being right, we become very rigid and we just keep arguing our point. And our, again, our whole purpose in this discussion now is to prove ourselves and be right. Versus in that relationship, the goal of that conversation works much better if that goal is actually to connect. And in what you're describing about empathy, it's about understanding and having empathy. Rather than win by being right, we win by connecting and understanding. And I think for a lot of us, that's a big shift to take, to put less pressure on ourselves to be right and see being right as winning, and more emphasize the need to connect and understand. And that's winning.
I think you're right. And what you were saying just then about the pressure to get it right, and it's funny, this episode, I've been thinking about it for a while, and I knew what I wanted to say, and I had it all worked out, and I've had all these different things I've listened to, but I've really struggled with getting it across how I wanted to. And I think part of that is the pressure that I feel with this subject to get it right. Mm-hmm. And it makes you second guess yourself, and it makes you stumble, and you start just closing off and things not running as smoothly as you would like them to. And you do just lose that connection.
Absolutely. As you're describing this, this will be hard for me to articulate maybe, but I'm thinking about, we keep using the word being right, and it makes me wonder about different levels of that. The idea of being right, having the correct information, the correct stance, being seen as right, and seeing ourselves as right, not content-wise, but seeing ourselves as good people. And that's a high priority for a lot of us, for most of us. And so wanting to be seen as right, meaning taking the right stance, wanting to see ourselves as good, puts so much pressure on, as you said, to get it right, say it right, and again, be perceived as good.
Yeah, it's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? To drop your defenses enough. As Austin and Brené spoke about, this whole problem, this stumbling block, this barrier that gets put up with your ego and wanting to be a good person. And forget, yeah, yes, I know we want other people to think we're a good person, but forget that for a moment. Just wanting to see yourself as a good person. But that's still being held up, isn't it? Still being held up by that stumbling block of ego. It's still, like Brené talks about, it's the ego crying out for you to protect itself. So when I said at the beginning that defensiveness is something that I struggle with, you can see it is.
Well, and I think it's a very natural thing, and I'm glad you brought it up so we can dig into it a little more, and, you know, each of us individually, and work on why we've kept our defenses and how to ease them. But if I'm in a conversation with someone who's sharing with me their perspective that I don't understand and maybe don't agree with, particularly around the anti-racist movement right now, I think most of us want to see ourselves as you said, a good person. And if you're saying things that challenge me in that I might have to believe I'm not right, I might even have to hear those words as applying to me, that I do some things that are racist, that I believe some things, maybe not even consciously, but that I have continued to act in certain ways that are racist, it makes complete sense that I would want to defend against that, because I'm going to have a hard time seeing myself as good if I acknowledge that. I listened to that same podcast episode after you had recommended it, and I thought it was amazing. Listening to them, listening to you and I talk about this, it's that complexity of, I want to understand, but in being open to understand, I'm going to have to look at myself more honestly. And again, I can't do that if I'm being defensive. And I have a natural propensity to want to defend against seeing myself as being a perpetrator in some way, or being, you know, a holder of beliefs that are racist or negative. So it's hard. It's a deep process, I think.
It is. It's really hard. But I think, you know, I've commented a few times how I think it's good to feel uncomfortable in this instance. And in many, discomfort is a good thing. But yeah, it's hard.
One of the common things that I heard from the person that I shared with you last time, he talks often about our discomfort, our stressors even, are actually the things that propel us forward. They are what make our body go forward. They're what make our mind go forward. And so absolutely, risking being uncomfortable is what will move us forward. But when we stay stuck in our defensiveness, we rob ourselves of the opportunity to grow and move forward.
And I do like what we mentioned about that there is actually a physical payoff at the end of it. And that's not what you do it for, but that release of oxytocin and that feeling of connection, there kind of is a reward at the end of it.
And that it perpetuates the process.
Yeah.
If I get that feel good feeling from it, I will be able to be more open and learn more and continue to grow.
Yeah, that echoes with what you were saying last week about not focusing on the goal, but the rewards, the dopamine hits you get from all the little steps in the process. Mm-hmm. It's that same thing, isn't it? That feeling that you've grown and you've got a bit closer towards the goal that you're getting for. Mm-hmm. You know, in this instance, I feel like, well, I don't feel like, I know it's a goal I'm never going to completely get to, but it's something that I can take small steps all the time with getting closer and closer. And you do feel better with each step you do manage to take.
So again, Daisy, even in just thinking about what you just described, maybe the end goal is hard to see, but if the goal really is, as the author said, the work of anti-racism is to become a better human for other humans, you are working on that. You are achieving that step by step. And again, defensiveness cuts you and everyone else off from that.
Mm. Well, that was quite a difficult topic to cover, but I I feel better for having spoken to you about it. I always feel, especially if I'm struggling when I'm trying to get my point across, I feel a lot calmer when I get to the end of it, having shared it with you and you having given me feedback and turned it around in a slightly different way that I hadn't seen, or whatever it is, but a calming presence. So I don't really know what I would say is the takeaway from this. So I want to have a sort of a bite-sized takeaway from each episode that people can leave the podcast with. But I think in this case, and really for me anyway, and what I would say would be the first step, is just to develop an awareness about being defensive and just be mindful of when it's happening, so that you can try and work on lowering those defenses, so that you can really listen and get to a place of empathy rather than sympathy. And as you were saying before about the chemicals that will get released when you're in that position of defensiveness, well, presumably the earliest point you can recognize it, the better, because you can stop that cascade.
I also think for me, the takeaway is just to further affirm the idea that in human interactions and relationships, if I can place the goal on connecting and better understanding, that's when I and the other people win, versus when I place my goal on my own being right, being seen as right, or seeing myself as good, that those things tend to interfere and prevent me from truly understanding and having true empathy.
Hmm. Definitely. That seems like quite a heavy week.
It does. So Daisy, as we wrap up here today, I'm just thinking about this topic today has been a little different than those that we've presented in the past few weeks, that often kind of have a positive or activating thing about them that helps us go through the week. And I just want to encourage everyone to really take what you and I have talked about this week and see how they can apply it in their own lives and see how they can continue to grow and connect and be better humans to other humans.
Yes, that really is at the core of this podcast, actually, isn't it? It's all about our connection with each other, you and I, and the connection that we hope to have with the audience as well.
And that ripple effect, so that they have that connection with themselves and with other people. And, you know, we are going through really difficult times right now. Someone might listen to this 3 years from now and they'll know the other side of all of this. But, you know, we've been going through a pandemic and now we're going through really turbulent times here in the U.S. And I hope that if someone's listening 3 years from now, they really get to see the positive growth that we've all gone through during this time.
That's a nice thought. We'll come back and we'll listen to this episode in 3 years' time.
Sounds like a plan.
It's a date. Well, in the meantime, I hope you and everyone else out there has a fantastic week.
Thanks. You too, Daisy. Everyone out there.